Apple Bates, they will be with us. If it is something else, then that something else will be with us. And that is what that Rivaya says, that if you love a stone, that stone will be raised with you, or you will be raised with that stone. One of the shuhada of prior to the Islamic Revolution, or the is Marhum Shaheed Nawab Safavi. He reports this, and also being reported by Shaheed Mutahari. One of the famous poets of Iran is Nizami Rashti. Has written loads of poems, ashar, for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Now this poet in the last days of his life is paralyzed, is ill, such that he cannot stand, cannot walk, cannot sit. Now here, Marhum Shaheed Nawab Safavi says, in those days his wife also had passed away, and he was living in his house with his daughter. Says to his daughter that in these last moments of my life, I am certain that Abu Abdullah Hussein will welcome me, that is at the time of my death. This is the yaqeen that we have, that optimism that we have, hope that we have. And no matter what hope and how much hope we have, that is what's going to be benefiting us, and that is what is going to unfold as well. He says that in those last moments of his life, he says to his daughter that I am certain about Abdullah will come, and I want you to sit by my head holding my hand. The moment I squeeze your hand, make me sit and help me stand, because that is the time when Abu Abdullah has arrived. And I do not want to welcome him whilst I am lying down. She says that suddenly he squeezed her hand. She helped him sit and stand. He stands and says, "Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah." With a smile, he passes away, gives away his life. So that is the acquaintance, that bond, that optimism. That is, he had served and he waited for Aba Abdullah. Now, as he was a poet, his acquaintance was to write and recite for Ahlul Bayt. Now that he has died, now the noble, when they see him in Barzakh after his death, they asked him, "Where are you? How are you?" He was a poet. In reply, he says, "Shukr khudara ke dar panah Husainam, alam azim behtar panah nadara." That is, I thank Allah that I am in the shelter of Hussein, and there is no shelter better than that of Hussein. So whatever the acquaintance of ours in this dunya, that is going to be with us in the hereafter. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this mahabbat that we have towards Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, never ever be taken away from us. For a moment, may that be in this dunya, barzakh, or in qiyamah. One of the other things we talked about is here the Prophet, he says, Al-Bakhil, Man Bakhila Bis-Salam. That is, Bakhil is someone who observes this bukhl, or is a niggard, or is difficult in saying the salam. One of the beautiful things that we have in Islam is that when you meet each other, you extend your salam towards them. Salam is the name of Allah. Saying salam, greeting someone with salam, it's mustahab. But once you have greeted that person, replying becomes wajib. Someone who greets with that salam, say he gets 70 rewards. Some riwayat says 99% of the reward is his. 1% of the reward is for the one who replies. And it is mandatory and wajib on him. And if he doesn't, he has committed a sin. In one of these visions, we find that shaitan in Masjid al-Haram was present, Rasulullah sees him, he's furious. Says, why are you so much upset? Says, with this nation of yours, I don't know what shall I do. No matter how much I work hard, after all they slip away, they find a way out. Rasulullah says, and how is that? Says, this nation of yours, when they greet each other, the first thing they say is, Salamu alaykum. Salam is the name of Allah. And the moment this salam has been mentioned, mercy of Allah descends, as a result of which forgiveness also is enhanced. The wrong they had done is forgiven. Just for that mere salam alaykum. Simple. Says, you have made it mandatory that once he has said salam, he also has to return and reply. And once he replies, again, that's the same mercy of Allah which descends, forgiveness is enhanced, and they are back to square one. The other thing that is found in your nation is that when they start to eat something, they say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim provides positive energy to the food, as a result of which more worship, more servitude is performed. And that too also distances your nation from me. So that is a few things which he mentions over there and says that this is what has made my life miserable because of your nation. Simple things. Then says that, Al-Bakhil man zukirtu indahu wa lam yusalli alayya.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bakhil is someone that when my name is mentioned before him, he does not recite salawat upon me. That is again what Rasulullah mentioned. And for this salawat also, so much was mentioned in the previous sessions. That is, someone who recites salawat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad resembles Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because salutations are sent by Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِ. That is, it is Allah and the angels who send salutations upon the Prophet. So when we recite these salutations upon Rasulullah, it is as if we are resembling Allah and the angels, or a reflection of Allah and His angels we have become, and we are carrying out the same task as what Allah does, that is sending salutations ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Returning to our topic, and that is compassion towards spouses and children. Now tonight it's going to be spouse again. So some simple tips will be mentioned as to how this compassion, this mahabbat, or this mercy has to be enhanced in our livelihoods. And as it was mentioned, that as the community, a society is made up of these individual families, and if these families are protected and this compassion is enhanced and activated in them, the society at large also will be safe and secure. An imam will not return until there are sufficient societies, sufficient families, sufficient members on which he can rely. That is what Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That is, as for the land, my righteous servants will inherit. So these righteous servants are individuals in the society when they have prepared themselves, availed their hearts for the rule of the imam, then the imam also will arrive. So that our livelihoods are cashed in heaven. Now we say that if we be good, heaven will be granted to us in the hereafter. So that is a fact. But that heaven has to be created in this dunya. Now with this compassion, love and mercy that we apply to ourselves and to our families, we indeed have created that heaven in this dunya. And if that does not exist, then that hell is already cashed and it is already available. So heaven, that sweet, prosperous, well-disciplined children, are the heaven that we have in this dunya. Be positive, think positive, be optimistic. It's that tip that is being mentioned over here. That if we look into the negative side of our spouses, we are creating a hell for ourselves. If there is wrong in the spouse, that wrong has to be overlooked. Out of all the wrong that is present in either of the spouses, the teaching that is taught to us is that look into the positive side of it. Whatever good she has, whatever good he has, just look at that good and focus on that good and everything will be safe. Otherwise, there is no one perfect. The only perfect flower in this entire creation is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. No one else is perfect. The ultimate perfect is Allah. So when two get together, bond together, there is a lot of wrong. You don't need to look at the wrong, look at the positive. Now to understand this, or the prescription that is given to us to look into the positive side of affairs, it is a prescription given by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and He doesn't prescribe anything which is difficult. Because it is possible, He says, look into the positive side of affairs. Now how does this work? Prophet Isa alayhi salam, with his companions, he was passing by. There was a donkey, dead, decomposed, amidst their path. Now one of those Hawariyin, companions of Prophet Isa, when he sees the donkey, he holds his nose, covers his nose. The other says, how disgusting. The third one says, awful. Look at this. The other one says, it's unbearable, detestable. Now everyone said something about the donkey. Prophet Isa also looked at that donkey and says that, look at the wonderful white teeth that this donkey possessed. It had beautiful, brilliant teeth it had. So everyone looked at that donkey in a negative way. He looks in a positive way. That is the teaching that is taught to us. That is in family members, amongst the spouses, or even at large, other members of our families, there is a lot of wrong. It says, don't look at the wrong. If you want to be safe, you want to live a life which is beautiful, which is a heaven for yourself, which you will create in this dunya, look at the positive side. Look at the half full glass that you have. So most of the quarrels that we have, most of the fights that we have, it's because of this selfishness. Self-wanting, self-loving, or in our terminology, it's that nafsi fights that we have, nafsi quarrels. Or the quarrels, the fights that we have, or even before merging into that wedlock, it's to do with the looks of each other. Nowadays, it's the height. Height matters. Girls want a tall husband. Boys want a tall wife. Now what happens to the others? So here, most of these quarrels and fights, I had to mediate for a marriage and it didn't go through. The reason why it fell apart was that the girl, she wanted a tall husband, 6 foot plus. Now how and from where do we get those 6 foot plus husbands? Over here there should be just one or two lucky ones. So it didn't go through. Because of that height. Boys, they want wives, bright, white, skinny, tall, etc., etc. So that also we don't get so many. So that is the reason why most of these marriages don't materialize, or marriages that have materialized, they fall apart, or separation takes place because of these nafsi sides of affairs. That is bad. Now it was mentioned over here, that one of the girls, now this is being reported from Abu Qara'ati, one of the great ulama of Iran, he says, a girl with an uncomfortable face, no one came to marry her. Now after all, someone in whom he appears and says that I want to marry her. She with that uncomfortable face on the day of her marriage says that, how am I going to present myself to my husband? After all, he is willing to marry me. She comes, offers a two rakat prayers, takes help and tabarruk from this turbat of Aba Abdullah, and says, Ya Aba Abdullah, you help me. Takes that turbat, wipes it onto her face, and that uncomfortable face of hers changes into a beautiful face. that is the barakat of turban and the iman of that girl, says that now she is an old woman. Husband is so much worried of her that whenever she wants to go out in the streets, he comes by the door with a Quran, says you have to go under this Quran so that you are not jinxed. So that is how everything changes. Because of that compassion, because of that love, hadith says that we have to be like honeybees. Honeybees, they sit on flowers and on vegetation. Hadith says, don't be like flies. Flies sit on dirt. Flies, they sit on filth. Now, a human body, clean, nice, tidy, good-looking, well-fragranced. A fly, what it does is that it comes and sees a spot. If there is a wound, if there is some pus on that skin, a little tiny one, comes and focuses, sits on that wound. Leaves that whole clean body aside. Here Ma'asum, he says that don't be like that fly, be like that honeybee. Look at the positive side of affairs, at the beautiful things, and be like that honeybee. And then says that if you be like that fly, you are availing that Jahannam, which is destined for you in the hereafter, because of this pessimistic sight of yours and looking at the negative side of affairs. That Jahannam, which is in the hereafter, is being availed in this dunya. So just this very moment, that hell is already available for you. Hell and heaven, we make it by our own actions. So pessimistic, negative looking, looking at the half-empty glass. People, they become Jahannam. Always finding faults in others, that too is among those qualities which is not desired. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam
says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَبْعَثْنِي مُعَنِّتًا وَلَا مُتَعَنِّتًا وَلَكِنْ بَعَثَنِي مُعَلِّمًا مُيَسِّرًا. Says that Allah did not send me to find faults, to be miserable, to be difficult. But he has sent me as an easy mentor, muyassiran, to be easy. Now many wonderful lessons are seen in this one glorious hadith from the Prophet. Now to build our dwellings on compassion, care, positive looking, thinking, being easy and light. So that is how we have to build our households. If there is wrong in either of the spouses, don't look at the wrong at all. Now we'll come to this point a little bit. That was the first tip. The second tip is that the wrong you see in others, ascribe that wrong to yourself. Don't say that it is present in her. She doesn't say that it is present in him. Say that it's my fault. It's my wrong. It is difficult. One of the great ulama, marhum Ayatullah Yazdi, among the noble. Now the beauty of this person, Yazd was hit with a storm. It was just pouring from everywhere. It wouldn't stop. Devastation. Everything was just being perished. Now this great alim, he comes into the yard of his house with his amama on his head, opens the hanak, it's that opening of that amama, and under his neck. In that pouring rain, he stands with his hands extended to the skies, says to Allah that in this yaz, this town, if there is anyone who is bad, it is me. If there is any wrongdoer, it's me. Don't punish this nation at large because of this bad that is present in me. Says the moment he pleads and cries before Allah, as such, the clouds, they move apart, sun shines, rain stops, and all that disaster, it just reverses because of the dua. He says that wrong is mine, good is theirs. And this is what is taught to us by Ma'asumi. Now one of the students then who couldn't be cured, he says the day this great alim died, his body was placed in the mosque, being prepared for the funeral in the morning, says that I was declared no cure at all. Says that the person was sitting and reciting Quran by his head, I come by the body of this great alim. And I say, Allah, there is no one better than him in this town. I seek this great alim that you grant shifa to me. He kisses his feet. And this person who was declared no cure is cured. So this is how the whole system works. It says that you be optimistic, look into the positive side of affairs, ascribe the negative present in others to yourself, and everything will be safe and you'll move forward. That is the teaching that we have. Now, the wrong we see, say that I did that wrong, you don't be offended. That is in either of the spouses. If you stand in front of a mirror and see yourself dirty, no matter how much you clean the mirror, you will still see yourself dirty. Unless that dirt is removed from my face, only then will I see that dirt away. It says, the same thing is with the spouses, husbands and wives, wives and husbands. If there is something wrong in the husband, she overlooks it, she looks at the positive side of affairs. If the husband is a package of, for example, filth, or the wife is a package of everything, there should be something which is good in her, there should be something good in him. Here says, you just focus on the good, the bad also will be corrected. Ayat of Quran also talk the same. They say that if you leave aside the greater sins, Allah will forgive the smaller sin. Or elsewhere says that you correct your tongue, Allah will correct all the wrong that you have done. Elsewhere says that you fix yourself, the wrong that you have done will be corrected and it will be changed into good. The same thing is into these human beings. That is, when we look at the positive side of things, the negative also converts and it refurbishes to good. So, we can't train others. The maximum that we can do is that we can train ourselves. Now, we come across ill-mannered persons, hot-tempered persons. Now here what we do, we can't beat them up because they are bad-mannered, ill-mannered. Maximum we can do is that we can correct ourselves. This is what we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the advent of Islam, Muslims were under pressure. So many Muslims were killed. Now after the Fath Makkah, the victory of Makkah, now Muslims, they prevail. They are the ruling class, you could say that way. Now they are happy. Kuffar mushrikeen in Makkah, they are upset. They said that we were so miserable towards them, they will definitely come and take a revenge and we are going to be hurt. They say that the slogan then was Al-Yawm Yawmul Malhama. Malhama means the day of slaughter. Rasulullah says no, slogan has to be changed. Al-Yawm Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy, day of compassion. Says because of that positive thinking of Rasulullah, or positive seeing of Rasulullah, everything changed. All those who were against him, because of this compassion, because of this mercy, because of that slogan, they changed. They come back to Islam. So looking into the things positively is important. Or for example, we do find in Nahjul Balagha that once Qanbar, he was hurt. Someone insulted him, an ignorant person. So here, insulted Amir al-Mu'mineen. Qanbar, he wanted to take his sword out and punish that person. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Mahlan, Qanbar, stop, easy. Da'ashatimaka mahan. That is, he hurt you. You have to be kind towards him. With that grace, with that compassion, with that kindness, you can train him, you can educate him. It says that way, you have pleased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And by that compassion of yours, you have raised shaitan. And with that compassion of yours, says that there is ma arda al-mu'min rabbahu bi mithli al-hilm. That is, Allah is not pleased from a mu'min as much as he is pleased by this tolerance of his, by this hilm of his. And then says, in such cases, the best thing is that be quiet. Don't bash, don't use words. So if there is a quarrel at home, a dispute at home, and there are words being thrown from either of the spouses, it is not required that you also sit and say that tit for tat. No. There's no place for tit for tat over here. Now, all this is a lesson to myself first. If she is miserable towards you, you be quiet. If you are miserable towards her, she remains quiet. Sometimes it is difficult to remain quiet. Leave the place, leave the room. If she follows you, leave the house. There are so many things to be done. We can go in the garden, do the lawn mowing. Seattle may say, no, you can't do that. The grass is always wet. The least we can do is clear the garage. That also they say, no, she's going to follow us, or he's going to follow her. One of the other things that can be done definitely is that the cars, most of them, they put all this fast food trash in it, take the car away, clear the car and come back in an hour. Two things have been done. The car is clean, and also by the time you come back, that rage of her is gone. So that way we can fix things. If we stand and start quarreling and fighting, it's going to get to nowhere, and it's going to get to disasters which are so dangerous. So, the other thing we find here, that is the etiquettes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Says that once Amir al-Mu'mineen is the first person, being the Khalifa, Imam, says that he was in Kufa, there was a Jew carrying a load on his donkey, on his right, and that load, fell to the ground. There wasn't anyone to help him put that on that animal. Imam, he steps forward, helps him tie the load back onto that donkey. Says, who are you? He didn't know who, did not recognize who he is. Says, Ali. Says, where do you live? Just down there. And then he says that once he had done, put this load back onto that animal, tied it secure for him, he says, where are you heading off to? For example, he said, I'm going, my direction is that way. He says that he follows that person for a few steps. He says, did you not say that you're going that way? How come you're following me? He says, I'm a follower of a religion, and the Prophet, he has taught us that someone who was with you and you want to see him off, be a few steps with him. He says that upon seeing this adab, this etiquette, character of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that, who is that? And who are you? He says, I'm Ali. There he falls to his feet, he says, are you not the Khalifa, the first person in town? This etiquette, this adab of yours has made me a Muslim and embraces and becomes a Muslim. So things in that beautiful way, Quran says that, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu alaykum anfusakum. That is, first look into yourself, that is that wajib obligation, that is saying, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, or those who believe, alaykum anfusakum. Upon you is yourself. That is, train yourself, fix yourself. Hadith says, Khayrun nas lin nas khayruhum li nafsih. That is, the best of people among the people is the best of those who is the best towards himself. That is, we can, the maximum that we can do is that train ourselves. We can't fix anyone in this creation. No one we can fix. The same thing is being mentioned by Allah to Rasulullah, that no matter how much you do, you can't fix them. They have to fix themselves. So husbands and wives should first of all not see the wrong, find faults. By default, looking at faults, that is not good. Many times we do find this happens in our livelihoods, that we only look and focus at the wrong present in either of the spouses. He looks at the wrong in her, she looks at the wrong in him. That is bad. And that default setting has to be changed, and that is, we always look to the positive side of it. You look at negativity, negativity will unfold on you. You look at the positive side of affairs, as that example was mentioned. He says that, I served Aba Abdullah, and I am certain, and I will see him, and he sees him. Examples for this also, many examples. Hadith says that when Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, she was standing by the Nile, and that basket was seen. Basket was brought to her. She opens the basket and sees that this is the delight of my eyes, joy of my heart. Brings him to Fir'aun and says that, I want to adopt him, take care of him, raise him. Fir'aun has a detestable look at that baby and says that, I think this is that very baby who's going to ruin me, kill me. She says that delight of my eyes, joy of my heart, and it happens as such, she becomes a supporter of that baby when he becomes a prophet and she has a good end. He looks at that baby with a detestable look and says that he is going to ruin him, and he ruined him. Once Jibreel, he comes to Pharaoh in a human form, says that I have someone who I have provided so much, he has stood against me. What do I do? Pharaoh says, drown him, kill him, ruin him. Jibreel says, okay, can you sign it for me, what you just said? He says, yes, signs it. Now, this is exactly what unfolds on Pharaoh. That is, he was drowned, he was ruined. Here, Maksum, he says that he should have said that guide him, train him, educate him. He also would have had that same end. So what we look at, what we hope for, what we wish for, what we desire, is what we get. If that was positive, positive will unfold. If that was negative, negative will unfold. So, here are things that, if we think to fight all the time, that when I see her, this is what I'm going to tell her. If she prepares all the day in her mind that when I see him, this is what I'm going to tell him, that is going to ignite quarrels and fights. So forget all that, look at the positive side, and that positive will unfold. Many of the noble, they used to instruct their students, mentors, they used to say that once in a while kiss your own hand. Why kiss your own hand? Because when you kiss your hand, your tawajjuh will be diverted from yourself. Hadith says that if you served someone, or if this hand of yours was a tool, was a means to help someone who was in need, please kiss your hand after that. Because Allah gave that tawfiq to this hand of yours to serve someone. Or if you come to this majlis and this opportunity is given to spread around these sheets over here to clean and whatever, then kiss your hand. That hand was a tool to do all these jobs. Many times that hand also is not present, that service also cannot be provided. So one benefit is that we thank Allah for giving this limb to us to provide these services, and at the same time that tawajjuh is diverted from my nafs, from myself, to this hand and limb of mine, it was this hand that served, not myself. So here that is the tip that is given by these mentors. So don't just look at yourself, look at the tools serving you. This way, optimism, looking into the creation positively, will be increased. The third tip is to have family meetings. Now this too brings about goodness, love, compassion, friendly talk. Sometimes sit and talk to your spouse, sit and talk to your children. That way that bond is created, that compassion also will be enhanced. And for this we find the teachings of ulama and great. Here says that julusul mar inda ayalihi ahabbu ila Allah. Rasulullah says that when a husband sits by his wife and talks to her, says that, here says julusul mar inda ayalihi, just sitting by your wife, inda ayalihi ahabbu ila Allah, is much more beloved before Allah, liked by Allah, min i'tikafin fi masjidi hadha, much better than i'tikaf. I'tikaf means a person, he comes to a mosque, stays there for 3 days, fasts for 3 days, he cannot get out of that mosque, he has to stay in that mosque for 3 days. Rasulullah says, you sit by your wife, just sit, nothing else. Just sit by your wife, that is much better than that i'tikaf in my mosque. I'tikaf in every mosque is different to the i'tikaf in Rasulullah's mosque. You say a 2-rakat prayer here, in this place, you just get a reward of a 2-rakat prayer, whatever that reward is. You say that 2-rakat prayer in Rasulullah's mosque in Masjid al-Nabi, that reward multiplies by 50,000. Now, i'tikaf in a mosque here, and an i'tikaf in that mosque there, that too multiplies by 50,000. So says that with all that huge, immense reward, says you just sit by your wife, says the reward is much more than that. So why is that? Because it increases that compassion. Why is that? If that compassion increases, that family will be safe and secure. If that family is secure, offsprings, children also will be secure. If that is safe, the society at large will be good. If the society at large will be good, then Imam can come easily. So how all these connections are made in here? Shaitan works in the opposite direction. He wants this never to happen. Why? Because the end of time, or arrival of the Imam, means death of Shaitan. He wants to live longer. To live longer, he does everything, lays all the traps, and the easiest trap is to break apart this family, husbands and wife, away from each other. If they are gone, then children, they are more at stake, more at loss. Says that way, Shaitan, he wins. Here Rasulullah says, sit by your wife, reward is much greater than i'tikaf in my mosque. So worship, when we talk about, it's not always prayers. Worship, it's not always du'as. Worship, it's not always ziyarah. Not always fast. Sitting, talking to them, serving them, all that is worship. Cleaning your house is worship. Washing your dishes is worship. So all that is worship. It should not be as such that by our excessive worship, rights of spouses, parents and children, they are usurped. That also is not allowed. We have to be within the limits, within the bounds, within those parameters. An old woman in Medina, she gets hold of Rasulullah, he was walking in the streets. Now, who is Rasulullah? The first person of Islam. Not only the first person of Islam, the first person of this entire creation. Allah says, that is, لَوْلَاكْ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكْ. That is, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have created anything. So all what he has created is for him. Now this first person of the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in the streets, an old woman, she holds him, starts talking and talking and talking. And Rasulullah also, with all respect, with all mercy and compassion, he too talks to this woman. And upon seeing this friendly, compassionate behavior of Rasulullah, many of the non-Muslims, they embraced and became Muslims. Says, if this is the first person of that religion which he is talking about, then that is haq, that is right. Now the Prophet too, with all care, he listens to her. Now, and if we don't tolerate our spouses, don't recognize her as human, being a slave of God or worship is not in all of this, it's just a word of mouth, just noise showing off, etc. So we have to regard them, she has to regard him. Many of the disputes, the wives, they don't want anything from the husband. They say, we just want him to listen to us, nothing else. We don't want anything at all. Once there was a phone call, last year or the year before, an old lady, she called. She was just pleading and pleading and talking about her husband. Age was about 65, 70. I told her that in this age, are you after finding a new husband? She started laughing and she says to me that, hey beta, ab is umar mein kaun shaadi karega? Who is going to marry in this age? And then she says that agar pehli dafa koi achhi cheez mile khane ko to dusre rukne ke liye haath badhata hai. Agar pehli dafa koi sadi hui cheez mil jaye to kaun haath badhata hai? Says that if for the first time you get something nice to eat, you extend your hand to get a second portion. But if the first time you are given a rotten thing, then you will never extend your hand. And then she says, the reason why I called you is that I just wanted to ease myself, talk to you and nothing else. No new husband. Now many of these disputes are also of the same type. They just want you to listen. They don't want you to have any solution. No solution. And most of the solutions are no solutions. It's just sitting and talking. Here in Rasulullah says that you sit by your wife, and that is much more beloved and liked by Allah than i'tikaf in my mosque. It's the same thing. But just sit to her, by her, and when she talks to you, that compassion automatically is enhanced. Tip 4, injecting compassion and love in the household. Now that is using by every means, every tool, every method. We have to be smart over here that how can this compassion be increased? How is that? امام الصادق علیہ
السلام صلی اللہ محمد و آل محمد
says that هل الدین الا الحب says religion is nothing but love it's nothing but حب elsewhere says الدین هو الحب دین is حب دین is love دین is compassion والحب هو الدین you love and that حب it's دین itself tip 5 says that respect them, speak to them politely. Being rude, arrogant, impolite, it increases hate. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, وَأَحْسِنُوا لَهُنَّ الْمَقَالِ That is, speak to them good, respect them, dignify them. Tip 6, portraying one's love, that is also important. Here Imam says, قَوْلُ الرَّجُلْ لِلْمَرْأَةِ إِنِّي أُحِبُّكَ لَا يَذْهَبْ مِنْ قَلْبِهَا أَبَدًا That is, when a husband says to his wife that I love you, says that I love you, it never goes away from her heart ever. It stays in her heart permanently. Now one of the other things over here is tip 7. Gifts. That is, giving gifts. It shouldn't be as such that when we are returning from a journey, we take something as a gift. Here, on and off, whenever there is an opportunity, buy something, get something for your wife and for your children. That also increases that bond, compassion and love between the husband and the wife. One of the things that, one of the names of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Sattar. Sattar means someone who hides a lot. Ya Sattar is, O Allah, that is who hides a lot. One of the etiquettes that have been taught to us is that when you attend someone who is great, say that a few times so that the wrong in us is hidden and is not seen by those people who have that sight of mercy. Now one of the great, one of the persons He says that I had a dispute, a quarrel, a fight with my wife in Qom and it was time for prayers. Wife was a Sayyida. Says it was time for prayers. I went to that Husayniya to say my prayers and I was a bit early before Zuhr. Prayers were led by Marhum Ayatullah, it was Ma Bahauddini. Ayatullah Bahauddini, he was early, he sat in that mihrab facing the audience and he looked at me with a sharp look and then says that this quarreling is not good. Why did you quarrel? Why did you fight? Why do you want to break apart that lovely environment that is before you and you have making it detestable? And then he says that fix this, patch this, it's not worth at all. Says, gives him a tip. After namaz, take some flowers, buy her a nice dress, and go and patch up. Patch up with your wife. Now by quarreling, may that be a husband towards the wife, or may that be the wife towards the husband, this is something that we have seen, every one of us has experienced. It isn't as such that if the husband fights, the wife is safe. If the wife fights, the husband is safe. Riwayat says that, whichever of us fights, quarrels, and after that disagreement and dispute, angels they curse until we patch. Angels they curse. Here says that by these disputes and disagreements, if everything is safe and sound around us, we come to a dead end. We come to these calculations and say that everything was safe. How come this car broke down? How come this thing I wanted to do, it just shut, auto shut? How come all these paths that were open before me are a dead end now? The dead end is because of this dispute. It says because of these disagreements, all these dead ends, they unfold before us. And this is something that we all have witnessed. Now hadith says, now this is again just a trailer, says that salawat ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
plays an important part in all these things. Now Sayyid, the lady was a Sayyida, he fought with that Sayyida and now that Sayyid found out what is wrong. Hadith says that when you see a Sayyid, whosoever that is, boy or a girl, man or a woman, old or young, says if you recite salawat upon seeing a Sayyid, that is good for your hearing and your eyesight. That is another blessing that we have, that is reciting of salawat upon seeing a Sayyid. And these tips are observed a lot by these great mentors. And then says that because of these disagreements and disputes that we have, we come to dead ends. And why is that? How come that person, he could see what wrong we have done? Says Quran, كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. That is, every person, that is, we have made every man's actions cling to his neck. The wrong we do, it's clung to our neck. The good we do, that is also evident and known. So tip 7, thanksgiving. Not once in a year, more than once in a year. That is, there is a lot of work at home that is done by her. The amount, the number of children you have, that job of her also multiplies. If we were 9 to 5, 8 hours, 10 hours outside, and you have 4 or 5 kids at home, she's working the same amount, multiplied by 5, multiplied by the household duty, multiplied by cooking and cleaning. So it's 6-7 tasks, 6-7 jobs that are done at home. So all that deserves a thanks. A house with no woman is a house with no light. In Farsi they say that Zan balas khanami balana masha. That is, Zan, she, woman, she is a bala, and no house should be without a bala. Mothers, wives are the joy and light of a house. So without them, no light, no joy. Husband is away, wife, she is upset. And many a times you find that wives, they felt ill when he is away. Her eating habits, they change. Because that support of hers is away. Man of the house is the support, which is a means of her peace of mind, her tranquility. So thanking her, that brings about that tranquility, that confidence, that peace. The Almighty says that when they pay their zakat, that is addressing to Rasulullah, when people, they used to come and pay their zakat, Allah says that when they pay their zakat, you thank them. Why? Says that you, when you thank them, it makes them happy. Says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Says, you take the zakat from them. And then, وَسَلَّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Pray for them. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. That when you pray for them, they are pleased, they are happy, they are tranquil. The same tip applies to us at home, that they do something good, we thank them, we do something good, they thank, etc. That is tip 8. Understanding each other, that too is important. That growth of every individual is different. Growth of a person is not by age. Many a times people, they grow by age, but mentally that intellectual level of theirs, it's not that good. So this doesn't mean that if she is higher in understanding, she believes, or if he is higher in understanding, he believes. No, we have to have a meeting point that she has to bow down or he has to bow down, meet at a point where both of them, they can understand each other. That understanding has to be there. Tip 9. For the well-being and safeguarding this bond, many of our desires of the two, they have to be shortened. Maybe the woman, she has so many desires, 8 kilograms of desires, for example, and she wants all of them. He can afford 6. So there has to be a meeting point where these two desires can be met, and that way, spouses are duty-bound to move forward with mutual understanding and mutual consent. So being upset, being moody is very bad. If the wife is offended and upset, disagreements with the husband, it's just going to break apart this bond, this compassion, and the angels also, they curse. Now here, a beautiful lesson we learned. Day before yesterday, I talked about Marhum Ayatullah Sibuwayh, who was cured and whose life was granted by Abu Abdullah Hussein, who lived for about 49 years after that cure. Now his wife, a Sayyida, she brings for him 10 or 12 kids. Now she loses her sight. And for 27 years she was blind. Now this great alim, he takes care of his wife for this 27 years. And throughout these 27 years, where he is the carer of his wife, he is upset upset that after all these services that are being provided, it shouldn't be as such that it hits everyone. That is, when we work too much in whatever field, Shaitan comes and attacks and says that there is no one better than you, there is no husband better than you serving so much, there is no man better than you worshipping so much, etc., etc. Shaitan attacks in those ways. He says that I shouldn't be, I fear that I be like that cow which gives so much of milk, and that milk is being taken and collected in that bucket, and all of a sudden that cow, she kicks that bucket and all of that milk is gone. Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. That is, all the good that you do, don't lose it, don't ruin it. Bil man, by favors, wal adha, by hurting. So the good we do to each other, by hurting each other, all that is lost. Bil manni wal adha. So here, the other thing is that by the good that is done, especially towards spouses, towards wives, towards husbands, there is a lot of favor from Allah, the Lord of Allah. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma, Shaykh Abdul Karim Ha'iri, the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. His father, a regular person, a farmer, living in Yazd. His wife couldn't bring any children. Anyway, he had no children. Waited for a long time, longed to have a child. Then he finds a widow in Qum who had children of her own, says that I'll marry her. Maybe I am blessed with a child through her. He wants to marry her, but her existing children, they did not allow, they did not agree, her resettling and him becoming their stepfather. He says that if I marry her for a wish and desire of mine to have a child, all these children, they are going to be hurt and upset. Says that for their well-being, for their sake, I will let go this desire of mine and I will be without a child. And then says, without marrying that woman, he takes the charge, becomes a custodian of those aitam, those orphans and that widow. As a result of this good which he did from his own wife, Allah blesses him with just one child, one son. That one son becomes the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. So it's 65 years now. All that is done worldwide, all these tabliqat, all these messages delivered worldwide, all of that is credited to the account of that founder and from him to his father, because his father was the source of it. So just because of this one good that was done to some widow, some orphan, how Allah compensates, that is, all this productivity.
Naam salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Tip 10. Allah, He provides us, gives us sustenance. Now looking into our own lives, there was a point we started our living, and as we grew, children were given to us, that livelihood also expands, it grows. Money also, it flows much more than what it used to flow when we were single. It was the early days of our life. Here hadith says, teaching of Ma'asumeen is such that when Allah gives you, you have to provide to your family. And if it is a 3-4 bedroom house and you can accommodate it, you can grant more to your family, you have to give. If Allah gives you, give them. If you don't give them, Allah will take it back from you. It's like these budgets you have, annual budgets. They say that this much of amount of money has to be spent for this purpose. And if you spend it, much more will be given. If you don't spend it, that budget also is taken away. Hadith says, إِنَّ عَيَالَ الرَّجُلْ أُسَرَاهُ فَمَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةً فَلْيُوَسِّعْ عَلَىٰ أُسَرَائِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ أَوْشَيْ أَنْ تَزُولَ النِّعْمَةً. Says that the ayal, the family members, wife and children of a man, they are under his care and under his custodianship. فَمَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةً. When Allah blesses them with a blessing, it is upon him, فَلْيُوَسِّعْ. He must expand, upgrade the livelihood that is provided to them, to his family. If he doesn't do that, he says, be prepared that was given to you will be taken back. So whatever is given, now Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Says that the most beloved among you before Allah is the most providing husband towards his family. Tip 11, helping at home. That too increases compassion, love between spouses and family members. Teaching of Rasulullah to Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Ya Ali, khidmatul ayal kaffaratun lil kaba'ir. That is, if a husband serves at home, serves his wife, says that is an atonement, a forgiving of the kaba'ir. Kaba'ir are the greater sins that he had committed. Says because of this service which he is providing at home, the greater sins which he had committed, they will be forgiven. And then says, as a result of that service which he has provided at home, Allah's wrath will be put off. And then says, that service which he is providing at home will be the mahar of Hur al-Ain in the heavens. And plus, as a result of that service he provides at home, Yazidu fil hasanati wa darajat. That is, Allah will grant him more good and grant him higher and higher ranks in the hereafter. And then says, Qala, Isma' minni, Amir al-Mu'mineen, addressing to him, Rasulullah says, Ma aqulu illa min amri Rabbi, that is, whatsoever I say is by the command of Allah. Ma min rajulin yu'inu imra'atahu fi baytiha illa kana lahu bi kulli sha'ratin ala badanih ibadatu sanatin. Says that someone who serves at home, a husband who helps his wife at home, washing dishes, cleaning, looking after children, grocery, etc., says that as a result of that service which he provides at home, Allah says that kana lahu bi kulli sha'ratin, on every hair that is present on his body, says ibadatu sanatin, he will be recorded and registered the worship of 1 year, not just a regular worship, says a worship when he is fasting the whole day and worshipping the whole night. In addition to that, he will be rewarded the thawab, the reward of someone who Allah will give, that is to those who are patient. The reward which Allah gave to Prophet Dawood and Ya'qub, the Prophet Isa, will be given to this person who is serving his wife at home. So all this is that great reward and blessing that Allah has mentioned, and there are loads of other riwayat that we have. The tip 12 and the final tip is that don't force your wives to do anything. This is what Rasul Amir al-Mu'mineen also teaches us. Now says that since the Prophet mentioned this to him, he says that I was caring towards Fatima alayha salam, and by God I never hurted her nor forced her to carry out any task by force. Whatever she did was she did. I never asked her to do anything. Here hadith says, Al-mu'minu ya'kulu bishahwati ahlih, wal-munafiq ya'kulu ahluhu bishahwati. A mu'min eats according to his wife's wish and to his wife's desires, whatever she avails for him. And a hypocrite, a munafiq, his wife eats according to his wish. Now here we find that Marhum Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he got married, he says to his wife that two things, I don't want anything else. Says, what you will need to observe is the wajibat. Whatever Allah has made mandatory and wajib, you will abide by it because Allah has said so. Mustahabbat, it's up to you. I don't say that you do, or you have to do, or you don't have to do. It's your wish. If you feel like doing the mustahabbat, you do. If you don't feel like, don't do. But wajib, you have to observe and abide by. The second thing is that indoors, charge of this home will be yours. You will be the head of this house and you will take the charge of it, and I have nothing to do with it. It is exactly what Amir al-Mu'mineen was taught by the Holy Prophet, that indoors is your charge, outdoors is mine. So these are some of the tips that are mentioned in light of the teachings of Ma'asumeen alayhi salam, which enhance this compassion between the spouses. And most of them that were mentioned today were pertaining to husbands. It is for the two of us. The days we are in are the days of Hazrat Zainab alayhi salam. And this Ashura that we are in is also known as the Ashura in Zainabiyya. She is the ambassador of this message of Abab Abdullah and Hussein. The way how she conveys this message, delivers the message, that is amazing. That is, there wasn't any stone that wasn't left unturned by her. Whatever she could do, she did. So that everything is protected, so that this message reaches its destination safe. And in reality, if you analyze and look into her, she has already entered the zone of ismats. She is a ma'soom herself. The reason why we say that, because Imam alayhi salam, he trusts her, gives the charge to Hazrat Zainab. For a duration of time, she has to take charge of this caravan. And because she possesses that capacity, that ability of being a ma'soom gives the charge of ismat even to her. Now, regarding her loyalty, that is, we find that when she is born, she opens her eyes in the laps of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Like all other siblings of hers, she is also named by Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. The name Zainab was a name given to her by Allah that was revealed to Rasulullah through Jibreel alayhi salam. She opens her eyes in the laps of Abu Abdullah and Hussein when she is born. The baby is given to the mother, eyes are closed, to the father, eyes are closed. To her brother, Imam al-Mujtaba, eyes are closed. To the grandfather, eyes were closed. She opens her eyes in the laps of Hussein. That is the first sign we find. So when the head of Abu Abdullah Hussein is brought into the courts of Yazid, we find that the caravan, the members are all present. Eyes of Abu Abdullah were opened. But when he sees Zainab al-Kubra, he closes his eyes. Here the ulama, they say that maybe he wants to say that Zainab, how can these services you provided, they can be thanked? How this glorious caravan of light, which you took from town to town, the charge of it was given to you, that can be thanked? We find that it is Zainab, her loyalty, her beauty, in supporting this caravan of Noor, is such that she protects it like her mother Zahra, like her brother Hussein, like her father Amirul Mu'minin. When in the courts of Ibn Ziyad, he says to her that how did you find what Allah did to you? That Allah killed your brother, what unfolded on you? She says that مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. That is, whatsoever I saw was beautiful. Everything was beautiful. Now if you see Karbala, there's nothing beautiful in Karbala. It's all this bloodshed, killing, looting, plundering, setting ablaze. It's all that disaster that is seen in Karbala. But when she says مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, it means that it's those prayers of Abu Abdullah in the last moments, whispering of Abu Abdullah in the last moments. We find that that reporter, he says that I never saw anyone more beautiful than Hussein in his last moments, giving away his life, and he was whispering to his Lord. Says that is the beauty of Karbala. If you want to see what the beauty of Karbala is, she says that that Sahabi, that companion, when it was time for prayers, and it was said that Abu Abdullah led the prayers, and that Salatul Khawf was offered, he stands before Abu Abdullah and Hussein like a shield, and takes all the arrows on his body. And when Imam was about to finish the prayer, or the prayers were taking a bit longer, he says, Ya Abu Abdullah, can you be a bit faster, a bit quicker? I can bear no more. The moment Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, that is the moment he falls to the ground and with the last moments of his life. The thing which he says that, Awafaytu ya Abu Abdullah, says, Abu Abdullah, was I loyal to you? Imam says, yes, naam wa anta amami fil jannah, and in the heavens you will be before me. That is, no separation between me and you. That is the beauty that we see in Karbala. The beauty of Karbala is in Zainab al-Kubra. That is, although she is dead tired, she has served. We find that on the night of the ninth, that is night of Ashura, that is, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, with a sword in his hands, he clears the bushes, removes all the thorns. Why? Since tomorrow morning there is going to be an ambush. All these women and children, they will be running around. I don't want them to be hurt. He clears all those thorns from them. Says, on the day of Ashura, when the night has fallen, we find that the same role is being played by Zainab al-Kubra. With a sword in her hand, she clears the thorns and bushes so that children are safe. We find that that is the beauty of Karbala. And on this day of Ashura, when everything had perished, Zainab, she has put everyone to rest. Everyone is resting. Sees that there are some children missing. Comes and finds behind the tents there are two children who are found dehydrated and dead. Comes and settles down and sees that one of the other men, children they are missing. And that is the dearest daughter of Abu Abdullah, Sakina bint al-Husayn or Ruqayya bint al-Husayn. She is upset that where is she now? Sees that at a distance she is by a body, lying on a body. And then says that, how come, Sakina, you found out that this is the body of your father? How could you recognize this body when it has no head? And also that body itself, it was pounded under the hooves of these animals. How could you recognize? She says, that fragrance of my father, I recognize it. That fragrance of my father, I know it. Then she says that she brings Sakina back to the gathering. And from a distance, she finds, sees a rider come towards the house. Zainab, she rushes towards the rider. Says, stop, don't come any further. Everyone is tired. Everyone is restless. Everyone is dehydrated. Children, they have just settled down. They are sleeping now. Don't come any further. The rider, he unturns, uncovers his face, and says, Zainab, you did not recognize me. Says, who is that? Says, it's your father, Ali. She says, is this the time to come, father? When everything had perished, where were you? When the tents were set ablaze, where were you? When the El Abid, when he was pulled out from the tents, where were you? When the tents were set ablaze, where were you? When I had to throw myself on Abid to protect him, where were you? Where were you when these earrings were being snatched from the girls? Where were you, father, when my brother's throat was being cut? We found that the mission that is given to Sayyidat al-Kubra, it's amazing. In the last moments of Hazrat Zahra's life, she says, Zainab, this package, keep it with you. One belongs to the daughter of Abu Zar, and the second is this shirt of your brother Hussein. Know that the day when he asks for this shirt, that is the day of separation, and that is the day when he will depart. And that is the day you will separate from your brother. Says, Zainab, I have a wish. Says, what is that? Says, when he asks for this shirt, you give it to him and kiss his neck on my behalf. She says that, I gave that shirt to my brother on that day of Ashura. My mother, she wanted me to kiss the neck of my brother. In addition to that neck, I kissed the veins of my brother as well. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُ أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إِلَهِ بِحَقِّ الزَّهْرَى وَأَبِيهَا وَبَعْلِهَا وَبَنِيهَا وَالسِّرِّ الْمُسْتَوْدَعِ فِيهَا Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ahyina hayata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Wa amitna mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد اللهم عجل في فرج محمد وآل محمد All those who are ill and ailing, especially those present in this majlis and those who have hopes in such majlis, Allah grant them a speedy recovery. All those who have departed, passed away, Allah forgive them and elevate their ranks. The wrong that we have done, Ya Allah, forgive us. There is a lot of wrong that we are doing, Allah, correct us. Allahumma aslih kull fasidin min umur al-muslimin. Ya Allah, our children, protect them. Count them among the best of those who ever existed. Ya Allah, hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah, and enlist us among the best of his supporters and those who seek Shahadat in his service. Wajjil fi faraj Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman.